Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends. My God. Picture perfect. Look, we're getting like accolades and awards.
No, it's New Haven's mayor is writing to me. Okay. He occasionally, along with Barack Obama,
texted me the other day.
Yep, he does the same with me.
They even have a pet name. Right? How are you, Joss?
I'm good. Loving my AC, my central AC. Yeah. It's my favorite thing in the world.
It's been sultry around here.
It's been Florida.
Yeah, no, we hate this. Yeah.
This is not for us.
People, recycle, okay? We got to end this global warming.
No kidding. Really, seriously, recycle everything.
Yes.
But otherwise, everything is good.
Your hair looks great.
Thank you.
It looks really
good. Product.
I'm you know, in the depths of hell with the current book. So, that's just par for the course. Yeah. So we have a fun letter, if I recall.
Yeah.
So give it a read, Joss.
I shall. Dear ladies, I've written to you before and your advice was great. My sister was the felon who threw a rock at my house on Thanksgiving and my parents blamed me for being mean to her. Yeah, I think I remember that. Anyway, things have calmed down on the family front. My sister is back in jail, so it's nice and quiet, and I have an actual friend question. But I'm so much more interested in the sister. Never mind. So I met Bitsy, not her real name, through my new job, which I got a few months ago. If you don't remember, I'm a single mother, widowed for 6 years now, and was staying home during the pandemic to take care of my daughter. My husband had a good life insurance policy, so money wasn't a big problem. But I did go back to work because that money won't last forever, and I wanted to save some for a nest egg. My daughter is now 13, and I only work when she's in school and from home during the summer. That's a nice job.
Fantastic.
I really like my job. It involves talking on the phone a lot. There are other people in the workplace, and Bitsy is in the cubicle next to mine, okay? She's very nice, super sweet. We had lunch early on when I was hired, and she latched on to me, but in a nice way. For example, she would bring me a muffin when I told her the muffin was delicious. She brought me one every morning until I had to tell her to stop. It was a nice treat once in a while, but she didn't have to feed me. Bitsy talks a lot at work, which makes work hard, right? Because we're judged on how many calls we make, how many clients we contact and deal with. You don't want someone who is hovering at your desk chatting all the time with these big, desperate eyes.
Aww.
The other workers know her and keep a distance from her. One of the others, Regina, not her real name, seems kind of sympathetic to my plight, which is now Bitsy. She texts me, asks me to get together. I had a memorial service for my husband, and Bitsy showed up because I was dumb enough to tell her about it.
Oh.
Awkward. She recommends movies and shows and gives me recipes if I say something like, yeah, I love rhubarb. Once she bought me a pie for me and my daughter. She's never met my daughter, but gave her a present for her birthday.
Ooh.
Bitsy seems anxious underneath all the sunbeams and chattiness. I know she is a second wife and new to the area, so I understand that she might feel needy and insecure, which she is trying way, way, way too hard. And to be frank, she's grating on my last nerve. I just want to do my job. I like her fine, but clearly not as much as she likes me. Regina has said a couple things in passing, like, be careful with that one. Or, don't let her eat you up all the time. Or, don't let her eat up all your time.
Oh. That's what it is. Both are good advice.
Yes. Also, yes. I like Regina based on the faces she makes while Bitsy is yakking to me. Not mean faces, but I understand your pain. Once Regina called me while Bitsy was gabbing away, and I just said, I'll stay on the phone until she goes away. Which is a nice thing.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
So it's not a secret that Bitsy is a problem. I know it's our boss's job to talk to her. And I did say something like, yeah, Bitsy is a little too friendly sometimes. Very talkative. Get this. She's the boss's cousin's wife. So that ends the mystery of why Bitsy has a job here. The boss is the owner of the company.
Wow.
I like Bitsy. She's a kind, good-hearted person. But sometimes I want to scream, I am not your best friend, okay? Go find someone else to bother. But she thinks that we're best friends. She takes her breaks when I do. The texts, the what are you doing this weekend, want to get together, the emails, the gifts, the book she'll drop off, the movie she recommends. If I mention a podcast, she binge listens it. If I mention a show, she watches it. She is exhausted. You did mention, though, Crappy Friends, though, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll listen to this.
She'll write it.
Recognize herself.
I have tried things you ladies have recommended, like not answering her texts and messages, being busy, saying things like, I need to work now, Bitsy. Nothing keeps her down for long. She never gets the hint, all cheerful and smiley and chatty. It's like a game where you have to bash the gopher's head when he pops up in one hole, but then he just keeps popping up back somewhere else.
Whack-a-mole.
I know.
I love that game.
It's a good game. I have my friends. I don't need more. If I did need someone else, I'd be way more likely to pick Regina over Bitsy because Bitsy is just too much. I actually feel like Regina and I are getting closer because she can see my problem and is trying to help. I had to have my appendix out 2 months ago. Another story about my shitty family is in there somewhere. Do write in.
Please.
Bitsy came to the hospital.
No!
And she was in the hospital for a day and a half and then brought food to my house. I didn't answer the door, so she called and then texted me. And I said to my daughter, do not answer that door. And we were like criminals hiding from her. How do I tell Bitsy to back the fuck off?
Oh.
She's just so needy and desperate for a friend. I hate to be unkind to her. She's nothing but good intentions, but she's so not my style, and I don't want to leave my job. Signed, wrung out. Too bad
She's
the boss's cousin's wife.
Yeah, well, you know, if she's been a problem there and no one's gotten rid of her, doesn't really matter who she's related to.
Yeah.
There's certain bosses who just... we'll not get rid of a problem employee.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, well, he's in a problem, but he's our problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's always a mystery when that person is maybe not doing a good job or taking away the ability for other people to work. But in this case, wrung out, you are stuck with Bitsy.
Yeah. Unfortunately. I would say, though, is it your boss, or do you have a supervisor before the boss who owns the company? Do you know, like,
should
a managing supervisor?
She didn't make that clear.
No, she didn't. But if you did, that's the person to talk to.
Yeah.
If there's an HR department, you can skip the boss and just go there. That's the place to also go to. And just say, you know, I like her a lot. I don't want to get her in trouble, but she's making it hard for me to do my work.
Which will not take away all of the other stuff. Coming to the hospital, bringing you rhubarb pie.
But it will take away the hanging out and chatting during the day, which will mean that wrung out won't inadvertently let her know that she's having her appendix out so this woman can come visit her at the hospital.
Right.
So it'll help keep the conversation at a minimum so that you have some privacy left.
You know, this is a hard one.
Yeah.
Because you say, like, she's super kind.
Yeah.
And just really needs a friend, but you don't want it to be you.
Right. And apparently no one does.
Well, not at the workplace.
Not at
Regina,
workplace.
You know.
Yeah.
And so this is a problem. And I think that you're on the right track with not answering her texts right away, telling her that you're busy.
Yeah.
So I think the next level of demonstrating that she's not in your inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
Is to let her know when you do other things with friends.
Yeah.
And say, like, oh, yeah, my weekend was great. My, you know, I got together with some friends and we had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
It sounds a little cruel. And she'll probably think, well, why wasn't I invited? So say, like, you can invite Regina to lunch.
Yeah.
And not Bitsy. And that's, you know, that's definitely a message. But it's also... you like Regina. Regina seems to like you. You already have this little common bond. But it sends a message to Bitsy while also perhaps deepening your bond with Regina.
Yes. I do think you're going to eventually be put back into a corner and you're going to need to say something to Bitsy. Because the way you describe her, I can see you going to lunch with Regina and Bitsy just showing up.
Yeah.
So I feel like at some point you're going to get backed into a corner and you're going to need a script. So let's brainstorm that now.
Okay, so the script could be, Bitsy, you're such a nice person.
Yeah.
And you have been really kind reaching out to me. But I'm more of a private person. And I have my circle, you know, that I'm a widow, and, you know, I don't have a lot of extra time, and I really appreciate your past efforts.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yes. That's it.
Period.
Yes.
Right?
That's what you say. That's it.
Because it's hard. If you give this person an inch, they're going to move into your house, you know?
Well, and that's what you inadvertently did. See, you didn't know. You walked into the office and didn't realize that the office had this person. Everybody else knew.
Yeah.
And so you figured, this is a new job. I'm just going to be nice to this person. And now this is the conundrum you're sort of caught in. I think at work, if she continues to bother you at work, you have the excuse, Bitsy, I need to work right now. And that's acceptable.
Right.
Because you are at work and you do need to work right
mm-hmm.
now. If she pesters you about, oh, I just came over to see what you were doing for lunch, say, I'm not sure yet.
I have plans.
Yes,
I have plans to sit at my desk and eat a sandwich. I have plans
yes.
to go to the grocery store.
Right.
You know, you don't have to tell her what they are.
Right, right, right. That's true. So just to kind of like put a little bit more distance in between her, work is the first place you could do that. As for her showing up at your house with...
Okay, in this case, I would have answered the door.
Yeah.
And say, Bitsy.
This is inappropriate.
This is not a good time.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
I don't have any time for you right now.
Right.
And close the door.
Yeah.
Because that's like getting stalkerish.
Yes.
The memorial service, I'm picturing like a Catholic mass kind of thing, just because I'm Catholic. But, you know, like, husband's been gone for six, seven years.
Yeah.
So you're having this little... service in his name, like we Catholics do. To have her come up to that is so intrusive.
That's so weird.
So, you know, I just feel like the window has closed for that, but you are allowed to say, I was very uncomfortable with you coming to my husband's service.
Yes.
I understand the motivation behind it.
Yes.
But I think you don't understand, like, that I am a private person and
right.
there are certain lines I don't want coworkers to cross.
Right, right. I mean, and let her know that was, you know, that was for family. That was very,
yeah.
It's fairly awkward and inappropriate. And I think Rung Out said she only mentioned it in passing and Bitsy showed up. That's so
yeah.
creepy.
And you shouldn't have to not say, like, I had my appendix out, you know,
yeah.
because you don't want to bring on this onslaught of casseroles.
Yes.
Or maybe you do. But but you shouldn't have to watch what you say for fear that someone's going to pop in there like the whack-a-mole. You
yeah,
know?
Like the whack-a-mole. I think you can, certainly the next time she does something, and she will, you can take her aside and say, Bitsy, this is the third time that... you've sort of popped up and done something awkward or inappropriate. And, you know, the first time was at my husband's memorial and I tried to let that go, but that's been weighing on me how inappropriate it was for you to show up. And the second time was at the hospital, which while I appreciate how kind you are and generous with my daughter, it's completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
And as Kristen says, I'm very private and I would prefer people not do that. You're going to have to do that eventually because she's going to
yeah.
put you in a corner where you're not going to be able to do anything else. So have some sort of script like that ready
yeah.
so that you don't get pushed into a corner and say, stop being such a freak, right? Because you
right.
don't want to do that.
I think you've probably been giving these messages. You've said you've tried some of these techniques. There's going to be that moment when you have to say, I'm just not that into you.
Yeah.
You know, and we just don't, I'm not clicking with you the way you're clicking with me.
Right.
It sounds so cruel.
It does.
But it's much kinder than letting her feel like she's your best friend.
Right.
You
and
know?
Then you won't resent the hell out of her eventually. Like, you won't... Because if she keeps doing this, you're going to end up with Regina probably talking shit about this woman behind her back.
Yeah.
For, you don't want to do that. You just want this to stop. You want that boundary to be set. You
yeah.
want this to stop. So...
And, you know, it's very hard to be in a workplace where some people get along and are friends outside of the workplace and some people aren't included.
Right.
But that's life, and
yeah.
we're all adults, you know? And, you know, some people will be on your inner circle, some people you can enjoy once in a great while.
Yeah.
I do not recommend, in this case, that you, like, throw her a bone.
No.
You know, because
can't do that.
She just does not seem... I was, you know, with another friend, I might say, I have Dr. Khaleesi recommends this. I have a half an hour this month. Would you like to have coffee?
Yes.
In that half an hour space. Right. And let her know, like, this is the time that I have for you.
Yeah.
But it sounds like Bitsy would not, she would just say, like, oh my gosh, yay, she invited me for coffee.
And might bring you, like, a cake or something.
Yeah. And a pony.
No, I agree. Just have that ready to go, that script. And start, for sure, with the work excuse, because it's not an excuse, it's the truth.
Right, you need to work. You want to do your job, you like it. You don't want to get fired for lack of productivity.
Right. I need to concentrate. I can't talk with you right now.
Yeah.
I'm really behind here on my calls or whatever it is you're
and then,
doing.
Then what Bitsy's going to say is, great, let's grab a drink after work one night this week. And that's when you can say, Bitsy, you know, I'm a mom and I just don't have a lot of space in my life for you. I'm really sorry. You're such a nice person. You're very considerate, but it's just not, we're not going to have a friendship outside of the workplace.
Right.
It's the truth. You deliver it as kindly as possible.
Yes.
And if this is a devastating hurt to her, that's about her.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, that is absolutely true.
You're allowed to state these things, and especially in the workplace.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, you start with, if there's HR, that's the place to start.
Yeah, I, you know, definitely go up the chain of command.
Yeah.
I was just picturing this, like, the boss owns the company.
Yeah, I know.
There's
I'm the
six
same.
Of us here.
Yes,
you know?
That's what I'm saying, too. And then there's no way to get away from Bitsy.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I heard cubes, too, so maybe there's more. Maybe there is an HR. Try HR first. You definitely put distance between you and her at work. You can do that pretty easily. And then if she keeps showing up at your house, that's the time to tell her this is really inappropriate behavior.
Yeah.
And then let her know that, you know, when you came to my husband's memorial, it was very awkward. That was a family-only event.
Yeah, say it's very uncomfortable that you showed up. We don't know each other well.
Right.
You never met my husband. You don't know my child yet. You're sending her presents. And I know that you are just trying to be a really nice person.
Yeah.
But you're making me uncomfortable.
Right. Right.
And it's, you know, I remember from your other letter, which I loved so very much, that you seem pretty good about setting up boundaries. This was, they wanted to come in and they weren't vaccinated.
No.
Or they wouldn't wear a mask.
This sister is the felon.
The felon who threw a rock and they showed up on Thanksgiving.
Did she show up? Oh, she did. Because we've had so many show up without a mask on. She did show up without a mask.
I believe that to be true. And she said, you can't come in here.
Right.
You know, without a mask. I'm sorry.
Right.
And then
the mother was very upset because the mom is an enabler.
Yeah.
Right.
And you said, like, I've drawn the line and my parents are making me the bad guy and I don't care.
Right.
Right. So I think that you will be the type of person who can say, I believe that you are a nice, generous, kind person who is looking for a friend, but you are making me uncomfortable.
Yes. Yes.
And then just put that period at the end of
the
sentence.
At the end. You don't have to do anything else.
I took a media training class a few years ago from a media expert, which is such a cool job.
Yeah.
Let's become media experts.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
And the best piece of advice that I carried out with me was put a period on your sentence.
Yes.
Don't keep trying to explain yourself.
Right.
Don't justify your actions.
Right.
Don't say, you know, this is probably because of my childhood. I have shitty parents and a felon for a sister. You know, just put the dot there.
Yes.
And stop and look at her.
Yeah.
And if her big, desperate eyes fill up with tears.
Yeah.
She's an adult in a workplace.
Yeah.
She's putting this on you.
Yes.
And if it hurts her, it does.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, it's...
Yeah.
It's, you're not trying to be cruel. You're just being honest. And honest with a person who is becoming a problem in your life.
Yes. You don't want it to be a bigger problem.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Don't want this escalating to, like, you know, you wake up one morning and she's serving you breakfast in bed.
Yeah. You know, I think we had a letter a couple of weeks ago where the woman said, because of my daughter, I'm able to... model this behavior.
Yes, yes,
because
yes.
Because I want to be a good example.
Yes.
So think about that.
That too.
Especially, I think your daughter is a tween or early teen, 13, you said.
Yes.
So she needs to see that message.
Yeah.
That if somebody makes you uncomfortable,
yes.
you don't have to spend time with them.
Yes.
And it might be like a great teachable moment for your daughter
yeah.
where you said, you know, honey, today I had this hard conversation at work, but, you know, the lady who sent you a birthday present and came to daddy's funeral mass,
yeah.
well, you know, it's too much.
Yes.
Put the toe over the line.
Yes.
And say, because at this age, especially, I'm going to generalize, but especially with girls, it
yes.
can be really hard to say, I only want good people in my life
right.
who are positive and reciprocal and that
right.
kind of thing. And then you get stuck with crap. So many of
so
our letters
many, yes.
have been like, we were friends in high school.
Yes.
You know, and...
then you get stuck with someone.
You get stuck with them.
Yeah. The other thing women do a lot is, like Kristen says, we don't put the period at the end of the sentence. We keep trying to justify everything we're saying.
Yeah.
So that is also a teachable moment for your daughter, that you can say a sentence and have the period at the end and need not explain yourself
yeah.
any further.
Yeah.
Which is important.
And I don't think there would be any professional repercussions for you.
I don't either.
Because I'm sure that the boss knows that his wife's cousin is a too chatty, too intrusive.
Yeah.
He hasn't fired her because maybe he can't, but I don't think this is going to blow back on you. Especially if you say, like, she talks to me too much, she's always at my desk, and
right.
I'm here to work.
Right. That's why I keep stressing that. That's the important part, especially if it is a small office where the boss is the only supervisor, he's also the owner, or she's also the owner. Definitely say, this is about work, I'm trying to do my job, and she's making it hard for me to make the kind of calls, or as many calls that I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
She interrupts me a lot, so I lose my train of thought.
Yeah.
I just need to be here, be able to do the job that I've been
right.
hired for.
Without, and you now, I mean, you're not saying anything but the truth, and you're not saying anything cruel.
Right.
You're not saying, like, I hate her.
Right.
She makes my skin crawl, whatever. Everybody feels this way. You don't want to, just like, you, this is your problem. It's not
yes.
Regina's problem. Regina
right.
seems to have dealt with it.
Yeah. And
right?
I think they must have the secret. Why not ask Regina what she did?
I feel like that gets into the slippery slope of we hate her. You know, when
yes.
you go out to lunch and you just talk about that person who drives you crazy.
Right. I mean, but if you're going to nip it in the bud, if Regina has a strategy, I mean, don't gossip about her.
Yeah.
Don't gossip about her, but definitely, I mean, if Regina has a strategy, like, what did you do in order
yeah.
to get her to back off a little bit?
And
then leave that alone. You don't want to, like, go on and on and gossip about her. Did
right.
you see what she did today? And all, you don't want
yeah,
to do all
that.
Yeah, because
that gets ugly.
Yeah.
And mean girl. But I think first you should try
yes.
that direct statement with the period at the end of it, looking her in the eye, saying that she does seem like a very nice person, but this friendship is not going to happen.
Right.
And, period, you
yes.
know. And then if that doesn't work,
yeah.
then talk to Regina.
Yeah, then talk to Regina. I know you can do this wrong out. I mean, you have a sister who threw a rock through your window, and you handled
yeah,
that beautifully.
You did. Yeah. yeah.
So I know you can do this.
Let us know how it goes. Oh, we love that. Hey, we have a nice friendship letter
okay.
in here,
all right.
I believe.
We do.
It's not that one. We have a pile of papers.
We have a pile
here.
Of papers. Oh, by
okay,
the way, can we talk about that? We got a pile of letters that went into like a spam folder.
Yeah.
We have rectified the problem. So
if
some
you wrote
these,
to us and we haven't read your letter yet, we apologize.
Yeah, we're going
to
do it.
So here's, it's, hey ladies, this is a story of wonderful friends. There are three people from childhood with whom I have been through so much. Parents, sickness, and death. Broken hearts, religious abuse, childhood traumas, adult traumas, everything. We're not a group of friends. They're all friendly through their friendships with me, but the three of them banded together to support me recently. Last month, I told one of them that I had failed to find the final component of my suicide plan.
Jesus.
She proceeded to call my mother and the other two friends, who called first me, then my mother. While I was in the hospital, they and my mother had a group chat for updates about how I was doing. They all called me and regularly checked in with my mother. Since leaving, they've all become involved in my treatment plan. One friend's mom and brother came to my house bearing gelato to hang out and drop off charged rose quartz. Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah.
It's even a bit overwhelming sometimes, but I am fully aware how rare it is to have this stellar of a support system. I've had a lot of crappy friends. These three, for 15-plus years, have never been anything less than loyal, loving, and lasting. I wish everyone the same luck. all the best, supported sister.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Amazing.
We're so happy that they came through like that.
Yes.
Just, you know, the cavalry arrived.
Yeah.
And
really grateful for that.
We're really happy that you're in a better place now and that you know that they're there for you.
Yeah.
Found out the hard way, but, you know.
But these are these seem like the friends that you're going to have for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And take good care of yourself.
Absolutely.
Stay in therapy.
Yes.
Or get a good therapist.
Yes.
All right.
Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net. And please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends
forever.